This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, tomorrow is Election Day, and one of the key issues will be in Detroit, where voters decide whether their next mayor will be former CEO of the Detroit Medical Center, Mike Duggan, or Wayne County Sheriff Benny Napoleon. Whomever wins that election inherits the huge challenge of what to do about crime in Detroit. At least 386 people were murdered in the city last year. And recent FBI statistics put Detroit neck and neck with Flint for the top spot of most violent cities in America. What can be done? And do we really know what's driving the violence in cities like Detroit and Flint? Joining me now is Michigan State University sociologist Dr. Carl Taylor. His new book, Third City, looks at the challenges in post-industrial Detroit and Michigan. He joins us now from the campus in East Lansing. Welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me, why do you use the term Third City to describe post-industrial Detroit?
Well, it's not just for Detroit, but I'm looking at in urban America that we take for granted that everything happens within what I call the first city, and that is the one that we believe in America, that everyone's a full citizen and has the same opportunities. And that's really not always, has not been consistent or true. And there's a second-class citizenship for many groups, and including the African-American community, women, and so forth. And so a lot of times that second-class citizenship is where we're working. But beneath that, and in particular during these times right now, we're looking at individuals who are living what I call the third city because it's even outside of the civil rights context of second-class citizenship. It's those at the very bottom. And so I'm saying that a lot of people are working in the underground. They're not criminal, but poverty is their crime. I mean, they're stuck there, and they're not getting out. And then it's infused with another segment of society that is the underworld, which are individuals who both individually and collectively are part of criminal enterprise or criminal behavior, and they are aware of that, and many of them are dedicated to that. And so that's the area that I'm talking about, and it's particularly sensitive to a place like Detroit and Flint, where the socioeconomics has become anomic. It's a total breakdown both of social structures for families, but also in relation to employment, legal employment.
And then you see stories like the one that just has broken in Detroit, where a young black man was arrested for and charged with raping a tiny little girl and burning her body.
Right.
Where you just say, where does this come from?
Well, that's in my research area. I was very aware of it. I commend the prosecutor and her staff for finally bringing this to justice. But we already knew from our street intelligence what was taking place. We're talking about, you know, illicit narcotics, drug users, and debates. And this is how they settle business. You're absolutely right. I would hope, but unfortunately it happens so frequently in Detroit that it has become my image, and a misleading one in that it makes people discredit, discount the people in Detroit.
Yes.
We have a lot of good people, but we also have a lot of people that are having some real challenges. And so in this case, I mean, what do you say? I mean, how could you take a little girl, a five-year-old child, and do something so heinous?
Mm-hmm.
So I also have to throw in there mental illness and some other issues.
Yes, yes. Is there a sense of public outrage? Or I'm kind of hearing you say it's so omnipresent, and not just Detroit, not just Flint. Look at the headlines out of Chicago. Then does the public conversation then become kind of a shrug and, boy, I'm glad it's not happening here attitude?
Excellent response from you. That is exactly what is taking place. And I believe that it becomes both a class and race issue that, you know, those people, some of the blogs, and I'm sure I'll get more after talking with you today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some of the things that are sent to me are just so extreme and so outrageous in terms of that's what you people do, and, you know, making reference to the city as being a bunch of animal savages. It's really ugly. This is what you're fighting. But at the same time, it's a catch-22 because the community itself is going to have to return to what it did in earlier years in Detroit. As you know, I am a native of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the community, before you started talking about your first line of defense, and you know many will probably disagree, but your first line of defense is the family. And in terms of education, we look at what has taken place in Detroit with public education. There are those who are gleefully standing on the sidelines saying that, you know, they talk about unions and all these issues. But what my concern is that, and I mean those issues are debatable, but what is not debatable is the erosion of public education or education with young people and families. This is the only vehicle to get out of poverty many times. So there's a total disconnect that we don't talk about. We talk about what is hitting middle class and that we no longer have a middle class, but in that same conversation, we have not been able to talk about the growing poverty and that poverty is becoming more stagnant and is growing. And those are the individuals that are caught between a rock and a hard place, Cynthia. So I asked the question very honestly, could this have taken place in Ann Arbor? Could this have taken place in East Lansing and these other communities? And there not been an outrage from the public? But in Detroit, it seems that we're condemned to say, well, you know, that's them.
Yeah, well, glad it's not happening here.
Yeah, so this is what I'm talking about. So this crime has not been brought in, and I hear a lot of rhetoric and talk and politicians and everybody else. The bottom line is, have you seen the headlines that they've caught these individuals? Hmm. And were we looking at who does that?
I'm speaking with Michigan State University sociologist Dr. Carl Taylor. I want to get your thoughts on the upcoming mayoral race. You've got one candidate who's had years in the Detroit Police Department and now the Wayne County Sheriff, and the other who is the Wayne County Prosecutor. Are you hearing anything from either Benny Napoleon or Mike Duggan that gives you hope that one or the other might bring some new approach to this problem of violence and crime, or are you hearing same old, same old?
Tough question. Know both individuals. I am apolitical as a scholar, but honestly, no, I haven't heard anything different. I tend to deal with facts and not the rhetoric, the political rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of political rhetoric, not only from the mayoral candidates, you know, their programs, but also from others, and including think tanks and other police experts about what they're going to do and what is done. But the larger picture to me suggests that while we certainly need the police, have to have strong policing, but policing to me has to be defined in a more broader context, self-policing and good police practice. I don't believe, and you have the controversy, I don't think stop and frisk is what we're talking about. Of course, you want your criminals stopped and frisked. I think it takes a balance, and I would say that our domestic policy has to reflect like the foreign policy in terms of the military, that we would probably need to take a page from the military of General Petraeus and General McChrystal, that they had to come to the conclusion that to address the issues in Afghanistan and there in Iraq, that it was going to take more than simply soldiering, or you know that they were going to have to attack the whole culture, understand the culture, not attack the culture, but understand
mm-hmm.
it.
And work with it.
Right. We need the church, but we need an honest church. We need government. We need leadership. Leadership is not where it's supposed to be. I don't want to hear about what you're going to do. What is going to be different? Because I think that if you're not careful, all you're doing is repeating history. You put a bandage on or you have minor surgery. But we've got to get into the heads and the thinking. That's what has to change. New thinking of people have to be responsible for their kids. Kids have to be responsible for their behavior. But the balance is not just to say that. These children need recreation centers. They need good teachers. They need counseling. And you're going to have a lot of good training before people can go to work, because right now they have went totally off track. And we have the naysayers saying, you know, it's really, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is social Darwinism. You know, if you can't take care of yourself, whether you're elderly or whatever, if you can't take care of yourself, then you're on your own. And unfortunately, that's quite a strain, a lot of stress on people. And they're striking out in ignorant and violent ways, and it will continue.
Michigan State University sociologist Dr. Carl Taylor, his book Third City, Looking at the Challenges in Our Post-Industrial Big Cities. Always good having a conversation with you, and thank you so much for talking with
us
today.
Great talking to you. Thank you.